Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family, peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my enlightened and sometimes crazy king.
Man.
Chris, say what's up to the fam.
Peace, peace, what's good, what it do? It's enlightened grande.
Not what I would have called you, but...
El Enlightened Grande. You want me to tell you how I call you?
You know, no, because there's no telling what you're going to say. Because you say so many weird things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you're crazy.
Facts.
Yeah.
I embrace it. You need to break something, too. Yeah.
Well, fam, we want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Twin Flame. Tonight, we got a great show lined up for you. Every show is a great show, but tonight, we're going in on deities on the altar. Chris and I get a lot of questions about deities on the altars. We are what we would consider, you know,
authorities
on altars, spirituality, and the gods. So this is a question that comes through quite frequently through, you know, instant message and email, consultations, all that other stuff. And, you know, it's something we felt like we should discuss and share with the fam so that there's not a lot of confusion about, you know, having deities on the altar, how to work with them, you know, mixing it up with the ancestors and how to pay respect and homage to the gods. But before we go into that, we're going to do like we do on every show, and let's talk about what we want to talk about, because we can do that.
Right.
We pay the bill. So, Chris, tell the fam why you so crazy today.
I'm so crazy today because I feel like a god. And gods are crazy. And do what?
Yeah.
You know, gods are loving and kind. They can be strong and mighty, and they can be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I embody all that.
Yeah, you've just been on something today, though. You've just been acting a little wacky.
Yeah, it's gonna be sometimes. You know what I mean?
So we, let's see, over the weekend, what did we do over the weekend? I don't even remember.
Oh, awesome. Gym like crazy.
We've been going to the gym like crazy. Yeah, Operation Sexy.
Operation Six Pack Brain Sexy Back. Who could get Jack? I ain't fat no more. That's the operation, y'all. I can't believe it if I try.
You had to get some Pedialyte and some Gatorade.
I was going in, though. You know what I'm saying? Bitch. Walking, biking, squatting, push-upping.
Sweating like crazy.
Sweating, training.
That's probably why you've been acting so crazy lately. You know, lost all your sweat.
Probably.
All your electrolytes are gone.
Exactly. When I lose my electrolytes, I get real sexy.
You get real silly.
And why she can't take it. I'm like, no, I'm not too bad.
Crazy, crazy. See what I mean, man? We also had our daughter's boyfriend over for dinner over the weekend.
Little West, maybe little chocolate drop number two. I guess he's the first chocolate drop.
Yeah, I was going to say, where did he get number two from?
No, B was the first drop.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but he had some delectable wings that he fell in love.
Yeah.
You sell these wings, sir. He called me sir again, bro. But he's a nice young man, though. I like Wes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
We're proud of our daughter.
Mm-hmm. You went training with me?
I did. I trained for the first, not the first time I've trained with you, but the first time I've trained with you in a more
dojo
type setting. So, yeah, usually we do our training at home or, you know. Went spiritual retreat, stuff like that, but
you're doing good though, man.
I told you, man, I got no hands, bro.
Your right hand, is, you got the speed, and you have that pinpoint precision that I like to see in young warriors.
Hmm.
Yeah, that pinpoint precision. Well, I've been saying too many times. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, some people, what y'all did, what you and your father did, it takes weeks for people to even grasp that concept. But you guys have been in a lot of battles in the streets of Cincinnati back in the day.
Me too.
And you can tell. You can tell. Left hand ain't a little work, but the right hand is so devastating. Oh, y'all hit a man with that. He goes, like, what? So he did good. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Stick work was good, too.
My stick work was good, and I was a little worried about the stick work because I didn't think I was going to have the coordination down, but it was good.
You got coordination. You're a natural
fighter. I am a natural fighter.
But you don't know until you do.
That's right.
He's picking up quick. The other grown man wasn't getting it, but you were getting it. Proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. You know, we were talking about it's something when you start, you know, working out a lot and you start wanting to do more, you know, other athletic things and you start realizing that, you know, it's fun and, you know, you have a talent for it. So
right.
That was very interesting. That was fun. I enjoyed it. So it's going to be a routine that we're going to be doing now. So that was cool.
Yeah, it was.
That
was cool. Really cool.
Now I guess I'll let me teach me chess. I'm ready for chess.
Chess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chess.
Yeah.
Because I got the mind, too. I got these hands, but I got the mind, too, y'all. I got the mind, too.
You do well at chess, though.
I know.
Because you're very perceptive. You have one of those astute minds where you don't let anything slide by without you being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good foundation for chess. And you don't like to let someone get the upper hand.
I don't.
So if you have a mindset like I do, and I know you do, that's some of the quality that I look for in a future chess master.
And I like to think ahead.
You love to think ahead. And it's not how many games you play, like people say.
Mm-hmm.
It's who teach you. If you have a garbage teacher, you're going to be garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You got an amazing teacher, so you're going to learn intermittently a lot quicker than someone having to go out and find battles to get their learning. So, yeah, you love it. And once you understand the concept of chess, it'll change your paradigm. You'll see chess with everything, just like you see spirit and everything. Yeah, it's pretty deep.
It's deep. Can't wait. Well, let's get in on this show. So tonight, we got about, 50 minutes in? Let me tell the fam now. If you would like to call in, you have any questions, or just want to say what's up, our phone number is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can hit number one, let us know you want to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you on through. So this evening, we're going in on deities on the altar. So maybe we should open up about, you know, when we first started putting deities on our altars. Because when we first put up our altars, we didn't have deities.
We didn't. We had fruit and water.
The candle.
The candle was my mom. My grandma.
Yeah, and so, you know, when we first learned about altars, we didn't know about putting deities on the altars. We had only heard about ancestor altars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was through one of our good spiritual friends, S. Ali Myers, who introduced us to deities on altars, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deities on deities, though. Deities. Part of those.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean God?
Deities on those silent G.I. Joes? Jokes.
Yeah, so do you remember the first deity that you had on your altar?
First deity I had on mine was Ganesha.
Mm.
And then from there I moved to Hanuman.
Yeah.
And then I got Anku. Then I got Kwan Ku.
Notice the pattern there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I got Ra. Then I got Tahuti.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got Oshun. Then I got Oku. Some deities rhyme.
They do.
Yeah, it's powerful. You got too many to rhyme.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go through mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember when we first put the deities on our altar, it was a big transformation from what we were used to with just the ancestor altar.
Yeah.
It was pretty much like we just stepped up our game by like 20,000 steps.
It was kind of like going from preschool to getting your master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, whoa, this ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing because when you're at an ancestor altar and you're there for pretty much the primary reason of just connecting with the ancestors to give offerings to your ancestors to pray and meditate and speak with them and everything. But when you add deities, gods to your altars, you're pretty much speaking to God. My fault, you are speaking to God. You're connecting with gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so that right there is just like mind blowing on its own.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, in order to really take advantage of the reality we are in, you need to align yourself with divine force. And deities are the divine force. We're here to serve our ancestors, make sure they have what they need, give them water, give them food, our ancestral mother to cleanse away some of the negative karma that they've taken with them after the transition. But when you're working with deities, you're working with power reserves that have always been here. They have always been here. And anyone can pull from them. And what they do is watch you in the eyes of the statue on their own altar, and it'll help you once you tether your consciousness with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of benefits to having deities on your altars. I mean, what you just said right there is like, do you even need to cover anything else?
You know, one big benefit of having deities that I found on my altar is it reminds me of your book. You know, I'm able to connect with higher aspects of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to see the deity within me, and I act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
When you start calling yourself a God and you align yourself with the deities, you act a certain way all the time, not just when you're in your house by your altar. I notice my character changes, my compassion changes, my love behaviors, every sentient being has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I represent the deity in people, whether they realize that they have a deity within them or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm a beacon of love, joy, peace, protection. Everything that a God embodies, I embody on a small human level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest benefits that I found after aligning myself and connecting my consciousness with the deities.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely. So we also get a lot of people that ask us, like, well, which deity should you put on your altar?
Mm-hmm.
And And the answer to that is pretty simple. Whichever ones you want. You know, for me, I remember we were walking through
Trader World's,
kind of like a huge flea market.
Yeah, flea market
compound. It's humongous here in Cincinnati. And I remember walking through, we were getting ready to leave, and there was something about this shop that just, I kept turning my head back and looking at it.
Never been over there before.
We had going there for years, never went into this one little shop. And it was something about that shop that just kept calling my attention. And so I went over, and first thing I saw was this beautiful Kuan Yin. And it was just, she was sitting on top of a dragon, and I just thought it was like the most magical thing I had ever seen.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, they got a lot of good stuff over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also found a really nice voodoo over there. I found a couple of voodoos over there.
Yeah, it's about $100 over there.
Yeah. So I say that to just say that a lot of times you may not know which deities that you want to add to your altars, but they will find a way to connect with you. You know, you may come across, you know, one online, you may be at a store and see something, you know, you may have a fascination with dragons, and you can look up and see which deities are, you know, associated with dragons, and you can kind of figure out which deities you can work with in that way. You know, you may have a fondness to lotus flowers. You know, it could be any little thing, a color, a scent, a smell. I guess that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that will draw you in to the same attributes that that deity has.
I agree with that. You know, one thing about deities is they resonate with certain numbers. And what I've realized is that the deities that I have correspond with the same numbers that I have in my numerology.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that before I had those deities. It just kind of like a spiritual synchronicity, because there are no chances or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things just don't happen.
Right.
And I just happen to have a bunch of deities that are warriors. Why? Because I'm a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing on all the deities out there. They're all in warriors like that. But everyone on my altar,
that's 90%.
About 90%
of them.
You know, yeah, 90% or more. But I just love them. I look at them when I'm watching TV, I look over at my altar, I'm like, wow. It's like, I remember I used to love the Super Friends when I was young. And I didn't understand why I loved the Super Friends so much. But now they have those godlike abilities. It all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been a hero. And I've been a hero because I've recognized the God within me, even though I could be, before I could even define it. You know what I mean? So you'll be amazed that when you're reading certain stories about deities, how much they correlate with your energy and your frequency. That's how you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. You know, it's weird because, you know, you have a lot of warrior deities on your altar, but, you know, you've definitely been a warrior in a past life. So there's that correlation to it right there. And you love fighting. You love, you know, that type of, you know, violence and stuff like that, destruction and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of makes sense that you would be drawn to those type of deities. You know, for myself, my deities on my altar are mainly deities that, you know, are pretty calm and peaceful. They are about knowledge and enlightenment. So, and that kind of rolls in line with who I am and, you know, how my DNA and my numerology and astrology and all the other, my name and all that stuff adds up. So there's a connection to those deities that I have on my altar as well. And, you know, a lot of times people will be attracted to a certain group. They'll be attracted, let's say, to Egyptians. And still they're a little confused as to which Egyptian deities they should use.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of them, they're still not sure which ones they should use. And, you know, Chris and I both have the ability where we can offer services to help people to figure out which deities you should be working with. you know, we can tell by, you know, the information that you provide to us through our website, you know, which deities you should have a connection with and which ones you should be working with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always say the first thing you should naturally do is just go with what you're drawn.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, right?
Mm.
Go with what you feel, what you're drawn to.
Go with what feels good.
Yeah. I'm always like what feels good. And I know what feels good.
So
I mean, I know it feels good.
Yes. So, another thing you want to do with deities on your altar, you want to make sure that you are showing them the most utmost respect, you know, as possible. You want to make sure that on your altar, you're putting them at the highest level possible on your altar. They should be, you know, if you have a bookshelf type altar, you want to make sure that they're on the top couple shelves, if you have more than a few. And if you do have them like just on a regular table, you know, I would suggest, you know, when I had mine, when I first had a table, I kind of propped mine up on, I think I had like a box or something like that, that I propped them up on just to kind of set them up higher than everything else that I had on my altar, because they're gods. So you want to treat them as gods. You want to give them that respect and, you know, just show them that, you know, you're truly honoring them.
You know what, you know, your deities aren't like personal trainers where you go out and pay for something and they have to work with you. You can get a deity put on your altar and they can choose not to work with you. It's all about who you are. You can do everything right and there will be something about you, but they just won't work with you. So in the beginning, I always suggest about one deity, work with it for 30 days, be mindful of the energy exchange on the altar and then you go with the deity. And if it works, keep it and get another one. You know, probably get a male or a woman. It's a polarity. Get a male or get a male first, get a woman first. Get a woman first, get a male deity next. Balance that energy out. You don't want to get 20 deities and all that energy. You don't know who you're connecting with.
Yeah.
You know, I connect with different deities for different things. If I want to spar with a homie or something like that in class, I'll connect with the old moon energy or the hollow mind energy. If I know it's going to be a good night with a lady, I might want to connect with Tom Schumann. If I want to work on my book, be creative, I might want to work with a Tahuti energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work with different deities at different times. But what they love to do most, they love to just watch you.
Mm-hmm.
They love to just watch you. And when you buy a deity, you allow the deity's consciousness to reside within the statue and watch you take care of your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And they see you doing that day in and day out. Being a person, they were modeling your thoughts, your actions, not only what you say, but your thoughts and your actions. They really watch that because that's your real voice, that's your real character. You know what I mean? And then they connect with you. That's, your life will change. I've been one ever since I've been rocking with deities, so I have a no system that works while I have deities in my life, and I'll never go back.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
You know, you said something really interesting. You said that people get frustrated sometimes because deities won't work with them,
mm-hmm.
or some deities just choose not to work with you. They choose not to connect with you. And a lot of times people kind of go into putting deities on their altar with the wrong intentions.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like, okay, well, I'll put this god on my altar and I'll give it some food. And okay, now I need some money in my life. Now I need some love in my life. Heal me, deity, heal me. You know, and it's just, that's not how it works. You don't bargain with the gods.
No, the gods know what you want before you even say it.
Mm-hmm.
They know your character.
Mm-hmm.
They know who you are. They watched you for many lifetimes. You're dealing with a being that's on a whole other tier of reality than you are. You're dealing with a source that has always been and will never end.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fathom the type of power or thought neurons flowing through that being's consciousness.
Right.
So you can't get it just to use it like that. You know, I look at deities like an escrow account. I like to give and give and give from my heart. And in the event I need something, I'll ask them. But, you know, deity, I've been doing this for all these years, and I really want this. I really need this.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks. I appreciate you. Thanks for allowing me. And I don't ask for things specifically. If I want a new car, I would ask the deity, thanks for giving me the means to be prosperous so I can get the things that I really desire.
Mm.
I don't ask for things specifically like that. If I'm looking for love in my life, God give thanks for allowing me to attract the type of energy that I want to spend my time with on day in and day out. Things like that. Don't be too specific like that because it doesn't work like that. Give thanks and ask for things that's going to increase your life, light and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may think you want something or need something, but the being knows once you get it, you might lose interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say you may think you may want a new car, but you may need a new boat or something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a flood or something. Anybody else get a new boat? He needs this flood coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
So don't be too specific when you're dealing with the gods.
And don't get, you know, turned off from a god if you feel like you're not getting that connection with them, because sometimes it takes time to form a connection. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can put in work for months and you still may not have a connection with a deity. And it's not, and you may be even mistaking what you think the connection should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be a connection formed, but because you're going into it with the wrong intentions, you're assuming that there isn't a connection formed. So you don't have to necessarily give up on a deity, you know, but I would say if you feel like you're not getting the result that you want or you're not feeling that divine connection with them, you know, then move on and find another deity to work with. But don't just automatically, you know, push them off to the side and say, I'm done with you, you know, and disrespect mm-hmm. the gods because they're still gods.
You know, one thing that I've done a lot lately
mm-hmm.
is help all my doppelgangers that are existing in parallel universes. I'm aware of the fact that I'm an enlightened being in this reality, but there may be other aspects of myself living simultaneously. The amalgamation of all my souls is the divine me. So what I've been doing was giving thanks to the deities for helping my other aspects of my doppelgangers grow in enlightenment as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can collectively grow so I can be the best version of my soul as a collective. That's what I've been doing lately. Not nothing that I need in this life, but something that all of the, like I said earlier, the totality of my whole soul is being spread apart on different dimensions and different tiers of reality. I want them to grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand the collective consciousness of humans affects my reality, but the collective consciousness of me will affect my soul on a much bigger, a grand scale. And a lot of people don't really think about themselves like that. And that's what I've been doing lately.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to go to your altar to do that. The deity just don't live in your altar.
No.
They follow you wherever you go.
Yeah.
So I'm at my altar all day. Everything I do, I act as if I'm in the presence of my altar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you act like that, you give off a certain difference, a signature. Your signature, the deities and the gods and higher beings see you change. See, when deities look down on earth, they see a bunch of dark souls, unfortunately. Well, they see some light souls and you ask for something, they'll be more likely to help that light spot. They see you more. And the more dharma you do, the more good you do, the more you just become at peace with yourself, the more they'll be more willing to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want my followers and my friends and people listening to the show to realize.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about what I can get, because tangible it's tangible, it can come and go. But when you involve your soul, that transcends time and space, you know?
Mm. That was deep.
That was deep.
Yeah, you got that perfect balance, Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So another question that we often get asked is, you know, okay, so now I have deities on my altars. What type of offering should I give to them? How do I work with the gods?
That's a good one. What's going on there? I already got deep. How you get deep? I want you to measure deep tonight.
So the best thing you can do in this is just to research the gods that you're working with. For example, if you have, let's say, Oshun on your altar, you look up the things that Oshun likes. You know, you want to adorn your altar so that she's comfortable in that environment. Oshun likes certain flowers. She likes certain scents. She likes, you know, river pebbles. She likes, you know, for as far as an offering for food, she likes oranges. She likes honey. She likes cinnamon. You know, you want to make sure that you read up and study everything about the deities. You know, you want to treat them like you would treat a loved one. You know, if you're inviting a grandparent over at your home, you're not going to have, you know, ratchet music and ratchet and dirty clothes laying around if that's not what they're into. You want to make sure that they're comfortable in your home. You want to make sure that they feel invited and they feel welcome and they want to stay. So you want to do the same thing with the gods. You want to think of them in that nature. You know, you want to make sure that you find out the things that, you know, they were attracted to at their time and invite that into your life. You know, Oshun loves perfume and makeup and mirrors. Add those things to your altar.
Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to my boy Vaughn out there. Why? Because even though he's been on the spiritual path for his whole life, he's really joined our spiritual family as a collective.
Oh, yeah.
And I learn from new people all the time. I don't feel like I'm this guru that can't learn from people. And he told me something the other day that really hit home, and I stopped doing it. I don't give my ancestors food that I go out and like fast food and things like that. I don't give them fast food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was quick to go to Popeyes and get some chicken and beef and throw it on my altar like, yeah, beef ancestors. But, you know, he told me something. He was like, you don't know what type of energy that the person that took that food put into the food, and you're willing to give it a negative energy over to your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I heard it, it didn't sink in, but I listened later. I was like, man, that was powerful.
Yeah.
That was powerful. So I cook something for the house, make a salad, get some beans, get some fruit, chop it up. But I put my own little energy to things that I offer to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And if you're ever in a bind where you absolutely don't have time to cook, you know, time got away from you or whatever, and you do have to, you know, let's say you ate out and, you know, you have to give some of that food to your ancestors. One of the things that you can do to protect that food and that energy is to say a prayer over it.
Miracle prayer.
The miracle prayer is the best one to say.
Yeah, that's one I use every day.
Every day.
I say the miracle prayer, the national mantra, and I was using it every day, at least once.
Mm-hmm.
I usually say it more often than that, but at least once I get it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's always good to, you know, and you want to also... You want to get familiar with the things that they like, but you also want to get familiar with the things that they don't like.
Mm.
You know, so for example, you don't want to give meat to a deity that doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
You know, Kuan Yin doesn't like meat, so you wouldn't want to offer her meat on the altar. That's a surefire way to make sure that you don't form a connection with that deity.
Mm.
You know, you want to make sure that you don't, you know, line them up with other deities that, you know, their energy doesn't mesh well. So, you know, it's very important that you do research on the deities. You know, in my book, I Am, that was one of the reasons that I wrote that book, was to kind of familiarize people with, you know, researching different deities and, you know, learning about them and, you know, figuring out, you know, who these supernatural beings are that are us, you know. So it's very important that you learn them inside and out.
There's so much more to life that we're not taught as humans that's going on. Our biggest job on this planet is to grow spiritually. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we come here to grow spiritually and have a good time. You know what I mean? To evolve. You know, a lot of us go through challenging things in our lives. And you wonder, well, how did I make it? You know, there have been times where I've been shot at, the person next to me got shot in the head or been robbed, people got their teeth knocked out, and I was always unscathed, and I used to always wonder, like, how is it that I keep making it out?
Mm-hmm.
Because the deities know me, they've known me all my lives, they know when I was a warrior, they know when I was a shaman, they know when I was in a Buddhist temple, they know all these things, And if you really, really stop thinking and just close your eyes and start meditating and connecting with the divine force that you know the things you've been through. You might not be able to see the pictures or have the memories, but there's this feeling within you that you know that, man, I'm greater than my current situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to start embracing that. And when you align yourself with the divine force like a deity, they'll do nothing more but bring it out in you. All your creative abilities will start coming out of you.
They'll
start realizing you. And you'll just start getting all these downloads. You won't know what to do because you have too much to do. You know what I'm saying? I used to just go to work, come on, watch TV, eat something good, smoke some weed, drink, lay slap and tickle with the wifey. That's a good day. Now I'll be so busy that all of those things I used to get high, I'm high naturally on just doing it and get a bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the biggest change that I found within my being. The things that I used to do before I introduced deity to my wife, I no longer need because indeed is giving everything I need. You know what I mean? And it won't happen overnight. It won't happen overnight. One of the biggest things that I attest to deities is my overview of reality. Like when I'm meditating, when I close my eyes, it's as if my consciousness rises. I get this 360-degree view of reality. And I'm at peace. Things that are introduced in my consciousness, I'm able to really digest and assess and give a good answer to whatever questions I have in my mind. But another thing that I've realized is I have less questions.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be, what about this? What about this? I don't need Google because I am Google.
Mm-hmm.
I am Google. You know what I mean?
We hold all the answers within, and we actually already know the answers. We just don't remember how to get to the answers. And so that's one of the great things about the deities is that they show us how to connect to our divineness. They show mm-hmm. us to, they remind us of who we are, the gods that we are, the God-like energy that we, you know, that resides within us. We just forgot how to use it. And, you know, you said something really interesting about, you know, when you're working with the gods, how you'll get all these downloads. And that's so true. I mean, you get flooded with so many downloads that you have to write it down because you'll forget because you're just getting like, bam, 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 left and right. And, you know, and when that happens, you want to give thanks because for them to make that apparent in you means that they are proud of you. They see something in you. And so they want you to blossom. They want you to flourish more. They want you to succeed. And so when you're getting downloads like that, especially when you never used to get them anyway, you know, you want to make sure you give thanks to the gods. Those are gifts.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a deity that gives you ideas. There's mm-hmm. a god of ideas. There's only one cone. There's only one consciousness that we're collective of. So whatever the next man can think of, if you enlighten yourself and raise your vibration up, or Satan and try to pull that question or that thought or that answer from the consciousness, you can. There's no, the mind doesn't think of anything. It's more of an antenna than anything. But back to what I was saying. There's a God that gives you ideas, and if you don't use that idea, someone else will get it.
Mm-hmm.
Every man will gift it with two genius ideas. If you don't write it down or act on it, then your idea will give it to somebody else. I know you've all seen a new invention. You was like, damn, I thought of it. I was never thinking about that. But since you didn't act on it, it's given to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So when you start getting blessed with genius ideas like that, write them down, store it away. Tell the universe, I'm going to use this idea. Well, write it out loud. Don't give it to anyone else. You know what I mean?
And give thanks.
And give thanks. And then hit my PayPal. Like, hey, yeah, I did.
Hit my donate.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, when you're on this new path of enlightenment, you know, working with the gods can be intimidating. It can be very spooky, let's say, for lack of a better word. And it's simply because, you know, if you've grown up in religion, you know, in a certain religion, in Christianity, Catholic, whatever, you've grown up and you've been brainwashed with the idea that you should only honor one God.
Mm-hmm.
You should only honor, you know, one being, and that's it. And even within the Bible, it tells you, you know, not to worship any other gods. You know, you should only worship this God. There's only one true God. And that's true, but it's not true. There's one creator. There's one supreme being, but there's many, many gods. But at the same time, they're all one.
Mm.
And at the same time, they're all us.
Ooh.
You know, so don't go into putting deities on your altar with fear. Mm. You know, it's natural to fear the unknown. It's natural. But you don't want that to hold you back from growing.
Mm.
You know, and you also want to make sure that, you know, you said something earlier about, you know, starting out with just a couple of deities. You know, if you feel like you need to expand more, don't be afraid of that either. You know, of course, start out, you know, small. Don't overflood yourself too much in the beginning. But if you feel the need, you feel like you're being drawn to other deities or different areas, you know, Egyptians, Greek, Hindu, whatever, explore it. What you'll realize is that all of the deities within different pantheons have similar energy, same energy. And it's because they are all one. Tahuti, Ganesha, Hanuman, Obatala, you know, they're Jade Emperor. They're all connected. They're all one. And so what you'll soon discover is that as you're accumulating all these different deities, that you're actually just putting puzzles together of yourself. You're connecting the pieces of yourself because you're finding yourself in each of the gods. And then you'll start linking it together and realizing there's a lot of similarities within them. And then you realize there's also a lot of similarities within yourself.
Damn.
So let's go in on ancestors and deities on the same altar.
Why are you so deep, Grandma? Why are you so deep?
Why are you so goofy? So we often get asked about combining your ancestor and deity altar.
Mm.
Some people feel like that's a big taboo, that's a big no-no, you don't do that, you're disrespecting the gods, and some people believe you can't. I mean, there's no way to disrespect them. As long as you're putting this is my feeling on it, your feelings on it. As long as you're putting the gods at the higher level above the ancestors, above anything else that's on your altar, you're showing them the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with putting deities and ancestors on the same altar.
I don't see anything wrong with it. We live in the reality with deities. Why in the afterlife walking into the deities as well?
And if we are them and they are us, and they are experiencing our existence through us, such as avatars, then why should there be a disconnect on the altar?
So I want you guys to steer away from people that have so many rules when it comes to your spirituality. When it comes to your spirituality, you do as you please. If you don't want to have deities on your altar, don't do it. If you want to do it, do it. If you want 5, get 5. If you want 2, get 2. There are no rules. I want you guys to have the Jeet Kune Do method of spirituality.
What's that?
The Jeet Kune Do stands for, the Jeet Kune Do method is, the Jeet Kune Do actually means the art of the intercepting fist. But what Bruce Lee did was...
Is that what you was teaching me yesterday? Okay, go ahead.
Jeet Kune Do, what you're doing. Yeah, I remember just carrying your intercepting fist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Jeet Kune Do. But anyway, I want you to take what you like and use that to your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see someone else doing something, you want to give it a shot, give it a shot until you find something that works for you. I found something that works for me, and I work with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't ever feel guilty about the work you put in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Most of your work you put in is done in your mind anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I work for my altar, I just get in and I call out to my deities. So I usually adorn a medallion that's linked with a deity. So I'm always protected no matter where I go. I don't leave the house without my medallion. Mm-hmm. Every picture you see me in, you're going to see something that's doubled in front of my neck.
Yeah, I keep mine on too. They may not always be visible, but they're on my body.
They're on our body, yeah.
What am I going to do with you?
Man.
So, yeah, you know, if you want to put deities on your altar, you want to put ancestors with the deities, you know, whatever feels good, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree. I think that there's too many rules. Some people have created too many rules within spirituality. And I think that comes from the transition from religion, because there's so many rules within religion that people kind of get used to setting those boundaries up because that's all you know. Mm-hmm. And people do it without even realizing that they're doing it.
Right.
You know, so it's a way of keeping control. And one of the things that I discovered on the path of spirituality is that I don't need to be under anyone else's control. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't even need to be under my own control. I don't need to have control. I just need to be.
That's right. You know, I don't want the people to follow my rules. I don't want to be right. I want people to feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel right, you create your own belt system. And no one can take that away for you. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm all about. There's things that I talk about that I do to help me win, but you might not rock with that. So figure out what helps you win. That's what I say. Again, there is no wrong or right. You know, just keep focusing on putting out light. This show is nothing much than a beacon of light. You listening now, that's cool. But this show is for the people that's going to be listening in the future. The show isn't for you right now. It may be for you here listening, you know what I'm saying? But I just focus on not being right, but just putting out light. That's it. That's all I care about. I just got bars like that. I rock with the God of bars. Yeah. Oh. You get my dream, but I'm like, this is the God of bars? Jeez.
Oh my goodness, you got issues. I'm so done with you.
Yeah.
So, speaking of rules, we got a caller.
Okay.
This is a fam right here. Caller from the 808. Peace. Fine.
Hey.
What's good, bruh?
Oh, nothing. Everything's good, actually. I'm just sitting here trying to go through paperwork to get my taxes ready and listening to the show. And like you said, there's so many people that are so stuck on rules that they don't ever live and get the chance to enjoy the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just finishing a little while ago working with my altar, so I was surprised that this show came up because I was just praying to the deities. And I acknowledge that I understand that I am not a perfect being. But I also understand that perfection is subjective. And there's always an opinion about the way things should be done or should not be done. And I was just having this conversation yesterday concerning the issue of time. Because I've had people tell me, the best time to work on your altar is at this time. You know, the deities and the spirit world is most active between this time and this time. And then, you know, thought came to my mind, while you're so worried about time, my thinking is this. Well, I'm here in Hawaii, and the current time here is 1:48 p.m. So if it's 3:00 here, and that's supposed to be the best time to do the altar rituals, then if I'm in Australia or any other part of the country or world, does time have the same application?
Exactly.
You know, in the spirit world, they don't see or experience things in the exact same way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my argument. It's like, you know, there's so many people that are so stuck on it has to be done this way. And I feel like Frank Sinatra. Why can't I just do it my way?
That's real.
Or like Usher.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Usher. I'm kind of telling my age a little bit there. But, you know, the point is, you know, I do things based on what I'm feeling. And I'll test that feeling out for a while. And if I'm feeling it something different, I'll roll with that. And if I'm feeling one thing one day, there's no need to apologize if those feelings change and I decide, well, I need to do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I approach my spirituality. You know, I like to ask questions and I take advice, but ultimately I'm responsible for my own spirituality, so I have to go with what feels best for me. And the deities understand that, and your ancestors understand that. The ancestors, because they've been here and they understand the struggle and know what challenges this world presents. But the deities, because they've watched these episodes how many times?
Mm-hmm.
This is just nothing but a rerun for them. They know what's going on, and they understand what's really in your heart. And, you know, they know that we all have different weaknesses and strengths. And they work with us as long as we're willing to allow ourselves to be worked with, no matter what level we're at. You know, they'll work with us on our level.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I appreciate the topic. It's a great show, like always, and keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, good brother.
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to give the proper due where it should be. The whole thing with the takeout food, I actually heard that from Empress Dale. And, you know, it made a lot of sense to me when I heard that, and I thought about it and said, you know, I can see how that could be. And so I've made some adjustments, just like I said, to see how it works for me. And so far, I'm happy with the adjustments, and we'll just continue to see how it goes. You know, if I feel differently a month from now, then, of course, I'll change to evolve with my spirituality. The main thing is just not fighting against it. Go with what you feel, and there is no right or wrong. It's just a matter of where you're at, and that's simple as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Right.
It's because we got a winning crew.
That's it. Spiritual internet. Right? I appreciate you, though, good brother.
Yeah.
Peace, guys.
Peace,
appreciate you.
Peace and love.
Peace and love,
man. That's one thing about a spiritual fan. We all be winning.
Mm-hmm.
We're 5-6 hours away winning.
Right.
But we're on the same accord spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
We may be, like you said, time, but it don't matter. We share the same space-time continuum in the ether, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So our actions correlate with one another, the way we think. I feel as if I've known them all my life, and I have.
That's why.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one good thing about you tapping into your spiritual divine self. You find the frequency of people that you live with for multiple lives, or meet them, even if you don't meet them, you feel their energy, you wake up with their consciousness, you just know.
Feels familiar.
This thing, what's up, bro? How you been? Good to reconnect with you again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some people you meet, you're like, man, you be winking and doing you wrong because you just feel it.
Yeah, because they've done you wrong before.
I've told people, like, man, listen, that's the time when you're going to do me wrong and you would never hit me again.
I've told people that too. Like, I know we cool now, but we're not going to be cool forever.
You just know it. So, spiritual family, all I think about is, man, I can't wait to see you in that film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's facts.
Facts. Diddy.
Mr. Hanuman.
Eh?
You know, he said something that was really interesting, was that, you know, there is no right or wrong time to tend to your altar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no right or wrong time to give an offering. You know, there's times where I just go over to my altar throughout the day. And I might go over there for 10 seconds. I might go over there for 10 minutes. I might go over there. I might stay over there for an hour. It just depends. You know, I just follow what feeling comes over me and what, you know, need that needs to be fulfilled. And so, you know, if you want to give an offering first thing in the morning, that's fine. If you want to meditate at your altar first thing in the morning, that's fine. If you're more of an afternoon or a nighttime person, that's fine too. Do what suits you. You know, I will say though, with the fast food, there has, you know, in the past whenever I did put fast food, you know, the Popeye's chicken, you know, we never really did fast food, but we do, you know, probably the closest thing to fast food would be Popeye's.
Sure.
Right. But, you know, when you put the chicken over there, you do kind of feel like you kind of cheat them a little bit. So, you know, deep down when you're doing something, when you could be doing more.
Yeah.
You know.
When you buy a steak, you fry that steak up with a baked potato and you season it as if you're eating it. You know, I'm winning the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you put the Popeye's chicken over there, you're getting it in. You know,
right.
So, yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, you're a genius, but you're putting in C work.
Oh, you're taking me back to fifth grade.
Silly. We're going to go ahead and bring this show to an end. I don't have anything else I want to add.
All I got to talk about is going to this gym.
Yeah, we about to hit this gym up. We got to bring this sexy back.
I told them I ain't going to hit this sick pack back, Jack, with no fat. I ain't going to come back this bad. Operation.
Well, fam, we appreciate your time. We will be back next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. I think maybe we need to do a relationship show. We haven't done
it's
a relationship show.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So let's do a relationship show. Let's talk about love.
Let's talk about how to get girls pregnant.
Let's talk about avoiding men that want to get girls pregnant.
Let's talk about spiritual parasites.
Ooh, I like you that. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. You heard it here, fam. Next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern time, we will be going in on spiritual parasites.
Ooh.
And with that, we mean through And if you are interested in finding out which deities you should be working with, which gods you have a connection with, feel free to hit us up. You can reach out to me on my website, IamDivineQueen.com, and there is a service that I offer called the Divine Gateway Session, which pretty much will give me an idea of which deities you should be working with, the obstacles that you have in your life, and how to remove them, and it also includes an intuitive reading. And Chris, I believe you do the same thing with your consulting service.
Sure, you can go out to The Enlightened Journey. That's THEE, the word Enlightened Journey. I do our consultations and also do numerology readings where I can link you up with at least six deities, let you know what your life path, your soul, urge, attitude, knowing your personality, knowing your gifts, anything to help you win. I help people find out what lane they need to be in order to win. So that's my specialty. If you have a problem finding work, you can go out to my website and go ahead and get one of my divine spiritual resumes. They help your resume vibrate higher. And on the back end of your resume, I encode three divine prayers that will help you win. One common denominator is everyone always wins with my resume. Everyone. You can also check out my books on my website or go out to idozine.com. Check out Poverty Consciousness, the Enlightenment Talks. If you're in the mood to watch some spiritual videos, you can go out to YouTube. You can go out to youtube.com/C/ The Enlightening Journey Winning. And check out my YouTube page, The Enlightening Journey. A bunch of spiritual videos out there to help you win, fam. So on that note,
my name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Enlightened.
You're Chris Enlightened.
And if you're married to someone that's a hater.
Shut up. All right, fam. We are sending you out with peace, love, and magical blessings. Love ya.
Holla.